When the Apostle Paul shook out his garments at the Jews in Corinth who opposed the gospel, he had done all he could do with them. That reminds me of a book written by A.L. Williams, a former high school football coach, titled, All You Can Do Is All You Can Do, But All You Can Do Is Enough. But is it really enough? I prefer to say, all you can do is all you can do, then pray and leave the results to God. Parents, all you can do is all you can do to raise your children in the Lord's ways, then pray and leave the results to God. All you can do is all you can do to get through the tough times, then pray and leave the results to God. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
You'd be hard-pressed to find someone who faced more pressure during his life and ministry than the Apostle Paul. Hello and welcome to this Friday edition of Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. My name is Brian. Thanks for stopping by. How did Paul handle outside pressure? What practical lessons can we learn from his response to adversity? Stay with us now and find out as Ron continues his teaching series, Paul, Surprised by Grace. Stop by somethinggoodradio.org anytime to listen to the broadcast on demand. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Now with part two of his Something Good Radio message, Courage Under Pressure, from Acts 23, here's Dr. Ron Jones.
Just as an aside, I usually say to all of our travelers who go with us on Bible Land tours and to the Holy Land is that, the Bible is not mythology. It's not like reading Greek mythology, which is just made up stuff. It's not Alice in Wonderland. It's not Candyland. It's not all that. These are real people who lived in a real place at a real time. Sometimes it takes archaeology a little bit of time to catch up to what the Bible and God already know. And every time archaeology discovers something, guess what? Without question, it proves the Bible to be true. And it's always a fascinating thing. They're finding all kinds of new things, archaeologists are, even in the Bible lands that we travel to. Sometimes it takes science, dare I say. Science, a little bit of time to catch up to what God already knows. That's why we always elevate the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, above any human endeavor or knowledge or discipline, and just give everybody a little bit of time to catch up. Well, Paul goes to Caesarea Maritima, and we know from the scriptures he spent 2 years there under house arrest. And we have to leave the story there and come back to it next time. But before we do, let me give you a few take-home principles here about courage under pressure. How do you handle something like that? How do you handle the pressures that are coming against you today? First, keep the faith and a good conscience. This is what Paul said to the Jewish Sanhedrin. He begins by saying, before God, in all good conscience, have I lived my life up to this day. Now, this resulted in him getting punched in the face. Remember that? But by saying he kept a good conscience, Paul was not claiming to be perfect. Rather, he kept his conscience from becoming defiled or dirtied up in some way or seared, as the Bible says. You can damage your conscience. You say, well, Pastor, what is the conscience? Well, God created us in his image, and he also created us with a conscience, that internal alarm system that goes off when we do something wrong, okay? The Bible even tells us that God has written upon the tablets of our human hearts an awareness of him, an awareness of his laws, of knowing right and wrong. The conscience is also that which affirms what you're doing right, okay? And that's before you ever meet the Lord Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit in you. When the Holy Spirit and the conscience are in sync, I mean, we have everything we need in tandem with the Word of God to know what is right and what is wrong and to go this way or that way. I think when the Sanhedrin official punched Paul in the face, he was saying, in effect, no, we will determine what you've done that is right and wrong. Phooey on your conscience. And we're going to determine that. We're your judges. But that's kind of an aside. By the way, disobedience to the Lord's commands defiles or damages the conscience. Let me say that again. Disobedience to the Lord's commands defiles the conscience. We are born with this internal alarm system. We know right from wrong. And the first time we cross over a boundary, what happens? Boy, the alarm bells go off. And your conscience, you know, just pricks your heart. But you do it again and again and again and again and again. And before long, you can't hear the alarm anywhere. You've damaged the conscience. You've seared the conscience. You've silenced the conscience. And I believe today we are seeing the results of a generation of people who have lost touch with their conscience. It used to be a generation ago, we added moral education into, you know, public education. And we tore down the Ten Commandments from our public schools years ago, right? Just that reminder of what's right and what's wrong. And here we are a generation later with people who just seem to have no conscience. And they can cross this line and cross that line. They can walk into a retail store and just ransack it, steal this and steal that with no sense of right or wrong. I say we got to get back to the 4 R's in education. You say, Pastor, I thought it was 3 R's. Yeah, reading, writing, arithmetic, and righteousness. You've got to add moral education to our education system. Teach right and wrong. Now, it starts in the home, parents. If you're not educating your kids and training up that conscience that God has given them and making sure that the conscience is well trained, you end up with a generation of kids that have no conscience. Dangerous place to be. Now, the believer in Jesus has the Holy Spirit as well. But you can grieve the Holy Spirit, you can quench the Holy Spirit, you can resist the Holy Spirit. And when you get to a point where you have shut down the Holy Spirit in your life and you have silenced your conscience through continued disobedience, when you know this is wrong, you're in a dangerous, dangerous place. Paul stands up in front of the Jewish council, his colleagues, and says, throughout all of my life, I have kept a good conscience before God. He wasn't saying he was perfect. He was just saying that when my conscience said no, I didn't go. And when my conscience said yes and affirmed something, I went. And of course, the Jewish Sanhedrin would have nothing. They punched him in the face. No, we'll be the judge of what was right and wrong in your life. What an arrogant thing for them to do. Jiminy Cricket said to Pinocchio, let your conscience be your guide. Oh, be careful with that. There's a footnote, there's an asterisk to that. Only if you've kept your conscience through faith and obedience to God's word, you've kept your conscience in good working order. Otherwise, your conscience is a bad guide. You follow me so far? And what happens when you're under pressure? You're under financial pressure, you're under marital pressure, you're under pressure from unemployment, you're under pressure because somebody has falsely accused you of something. You need to know what's right and what's wrong, right? So that you respond well in those situations. When you're under pressure, keep the faith and a good conscience. Walk with God by faith every day of your life and listen to your conscience and, child of God, the Holy Spirit, who in tandem with your conscience says, don't go this way. That's a bad thing to do. Or go this way. This is the right way to go. We used to train, add moral education to our education system. This starts with parenting. Parents, train your kids up. You know, simple as this. Teach your kids the Ten Commandments. So when it says, thou shalt not kill, they don't march into the Jewish council and say, here's our assassination plot. These are people who have no conscience that is trained by the word of God. And I know some people say, well, the Ten Commandments, they're so harsh, those thou shalt nots. You know how I see the Ten Commandments? It's the way a parent would talk to a child who's reaching up maybe for the first time to touch a hot stove. Do you know how you talk to that child? You shout at the top of your lungs, stop! Because you don't want that child to learn from experience, the stove is hot. It will burn you. So you shout at the top of your lungs, thou shalt not. Then you pull the child aside and say, let me tell you why. It'll burn you. Those are the Ten Commandments. And they work in every generation. They're even affirmed in the New Testament. So when you're under pressure, keep the faith. Keep a good conscience. And when you do that all your lives, walking in faith and walking in obedience to God, when the pressure comes, you're in a better chance of doing the right thing and not the wrong thing. Secondly, when under pressure, take courage and embrace the grace of God. Again, I love that, you know, middle of the night vision that the Lord gave to Paul when the pressure was on. And he said, take courage. I'm going to get you to Rome. Just like you're testifying to me here, I'm going to get you there. I'm going to be with you every step of the way.
Dr. Ron Jones will be right back with the second half of today's message, Courage Under Pressure. Stop by somethinggoodradio.org anytime to find out more about the ministry, to ask our ministry team to pray for you, or to order selected resources from our online store. Here's something else for you. Today, Ron wants to bless you with a great resource that goes along with the series we aired earlier this year. Route 66, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. He's written two beautifully designed editions that cover the Old and New Testament, and both volumes can be yours today for your gift of $50 or more. That's volumes 1 and 2 of Ron's book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. For more information or to make a donation online, visit somethinggoodradio.org. Give over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Now let's get you back to the rest of today's message, Courage Under Pressure. Here once again is Dr. Ron Jones.
Sometimes pressure comes when others are saying untrue things about you, and that was certainly true of the Apostle Paul, the false accusations, the misunderstandings. Even when the Roman official, the high-ranking tribune, said, aren't you that Egyptian who had a team of assassins? No, a mistaken identity. Even amidst all of that, the pressure comes. False accusations can weigh heavily upon a person. Some people never let the Apostle Paul forget that he was a persecutor of Jewish Christians. You know that? And sometimes people will never let you forget your past. The devil certainly won't. He likes to replay those stories and remind you of who you once were. That's when you need to take courage and embrace the grace of God. Paul, the apostle, surprised by grace. I mean, anybody with a past like his, I mean, what use would he be to God? Oh, of great use, because he repented when he met the risen Christ and followed him courageously and embraced the grace of God. Number three, when under pressure, trust the power of God to protect you. In other words, when pressure is pushing down on you, as the song says, find your shelter in the Lord. We have all kinds of coping mechanisms that people who are under pressure and experiencing high levels of anxiety as a result of the pressure they're under, all kinds of coping mechanisms that they're running to, could be alcohol, could be drugs, could be illicit sex, could be any number of things. You're under financial pressure. Oh, I got to steal something. That's a coping mechanism to relieve the pressure. No, find your shelter in the Lord. Trust the power of God to get you through this time and to protect you. He is a strong tower. He is mighty in battle. He will fight the battles for you. He will make foolish the wisdom of this world. He makes weak the strength of man. He even took a little child, Paul's nephew, and exposed the assassination plot and foiled the plans of those who wanted to kill Paul. Only God could do something like that. Take confidence in that. Freddie Mercury and David Bowie were right about one thing. These are the days. It never rains, but boy, it pours. And pressure is coming against every one of us from so many different angles. But we can find courage and strength in the Lord when we're under pressure. And that's where we need to go. Not to some man-made coping mechanism. Some of you and some of us have maybe learned some bad coping habits and mechanisms when pressure comes. And we need to learn to run to our high tower and to our shelter, which is the Lord Almighty. And as novel as this sounds, to pray. You know, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. I know the anxiety levels are high, and they're higher because of the pressure that we're facing today. But pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, pray. Novel idea. Don't run to the coping mechanism that never helps, but only temporarily, you know, relieves the pressure. Bring your burdens to the Lord in prayer and let Him go to work on your behalf. He did for the Apostle Paul, and He will for us. One more thought. I always think in every sermon, how do I get to the cross of Christ? Well, nobody experienced more pressure than the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, really, throughout His ministry, the pressure was building. The antagonism against this rabbi from Nazareth was building. But never more so than when He was just hours from the cross and He ended up in Gethsemane. You remember? And Luke, who also penned Acts, wrote a gospel, the gospel according to Luke. Luke was a physician and a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. And Luke is the one that tells us that when Jesus went to the garden, He sweat drops of blood. It's a medical condition that results from an enormous amount of stress on the human body, and the capillaries just beneath the skin begin to break down, and it mixes in with the sweat and manifests itself in sweat with drops of blood in it, bloody sweat. This was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In His humanity, the pressure was coming. He was facing the cross. And from there, He got arrested and put on trial and all kinds of false accusations against Him. He was flogged. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was spit upon. He was nailed to a cross, and He bore the heavy burden and pressure of your sin and mine, so much so that at one point He cries out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? The pressure of isolation, of going through this all by Himself. The first time we might say that the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there was broken fellowship. And He was there alone, suspended between earth and heaven, with the burden of your sin and mine on the cross. Nobody experienced pressure quite like the Lord Jesus Christ. And He did that for you, and He did that for me. Why? Because I can't think of a greater pressure on any of us than the guilt and shame and the uncertainty that comes with not knowing your sins are forgiven. Maybe that's the greatest pressure that any of us feel, is not knowing that if I were to die today, what would happen to me? Not knowing whether my sins are forgiven, not knowing that if I stand before God, my Creator, I stand in His grace and He will receive me. Islam won't bring you to that realization. Muslims never know whether Allah will favor them or not. It's only the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ where you can know for certain that your sins are forgiven. And even the pressure of death and facing death, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that the devil has us all twisted up, some in the fear of death. Anxiety and fear are kissing cousins, and it brings pressure. You get older and you wonder, how am I going to face this thing called death? You can either be tangled up in the fear of death and the pressure of all that, Or you can laugh death in the face and say, like the Apostle Paul did after he waxed eloquently about the grace of God in 1 Corinthians 15, "Oh death, where is your sting? And oh death, where is your victory?" That's the pressure release. The pressure reliever that God gave us is forgiveness and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe the most important thing for you to do today is to relieve that pressure by coming to faith in Jesus Christ today. And then walk in faith and in obedience to His divine commands, using all the tools that He's given us to do what is right and not as wrong, our conscience, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, that all sync up together and help us live this thing called the Christian life successfully until Jesus comes or the Lord takes us home. Courage under pressure. Now that describes the Apostle Paul here in Acts chapter 23.
Thanks so much for being with us for today's Something Good radio message, Courage Under Pressure. Ron, I've heard it said that life is 10% adversity and 90% how we handle it. Now, to me, that seems consistent with Scripture and with what you said today. We don't get overly anxious due to the pressure that comes our way, but rather because we don't properly manage it.
Brian, I absolutely believe it is true. Generally speaking, life is more about dealing with pressure than it is about dodging it. Jesus said as much when he told us the story of the two houses, one built on sand, the other on a solid foundation. Remember this one? Now, wind blew against both houses and waves crashed against both houses. The pressure came from outside circumstances, so it wasn't the homeowner's doing. It was unavoidable for both parties, both houses. And of course, the question is, which one is going to stand? Well, the one built on the rock, right? The one built on a solid foundation, on the concrete truth of God. Now, the three things I said today, keeping the faith in good conscience and embracing the grace of God and trusting the power of God to protect you, these things are part of the way to handle outside pressure. But how do we get to that point? Brian, what equips us to set those things as default values? Well, I'll give you two quick foundational principles upon which every believer in Christ, if applied, will be able to hold firm while under pressure. The first is what the Apostle Paul himself said in Philippians chapter 4. I remember this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving," and so forth. So prayer and thanksgiving are critical in handling pressure the right way, with courage and perseverance. The second pillar is the Word of God itself. Jesus said we need to live on His Word. It is daily bread for our spirit, manna for our mentality. Reading the Bible, Brian, consistently is what reaffirms our belief in the grace of God and in the power of God to protect us. So to handle pressure with courage, we need to be in the Word, and we need to be prayerful and thankful in all circumstances. Those are some of the practical and foundational principles that will give us courage while under pressure.
That's Dr. Ron Jones with a few final thoughts on what it means to face adversity the right way. Well, Ron, as we wrap up today's broadcast, what can you tell us about our next one as you move ahead in this series on the Apostle Paul?
Brian, years ago, way back in 1807, William Wordsworth wrote a poem called "The Character of the Happy Warrior." Now, many people have referred to it over the years, including Presidents Franklin Roosevelt and Ronald Reagan. But the primary point Wordsworth was making was that there are some great leaders out there who remain unflinching, even cheerful, during times of great adversity. Now, the Apostle Paul was like that. And in my next message, I want to explore how he cheerfully and joyfully shared and, yes, even defended his faith in Christ before the religious leaders. It's pretty heady and even challenging stuff, Brian, and I'll get into it next time as we continue in this series I've called Paul, Surprised by Grace.
That's next time when Ron shares his message, A Cheerful Defense of the Gospel. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. thanks for listening.